Hey everyone, this is Jocelyn and welcome to this edition of LEAP. Joining me today is Mario Arace. Mario is his movement is called Elevate Others. After a 30 years career in the corporate world that was sucking the life out of him, he lost his passion and identity, spending 5 years crawling out of a rabbit hole. Once he called himself a victim, he realized very quickly how immediately that triggered and mounted a comeback to take control of his life, taking full responsibility and embracing the pain, struggle, and obstacles to create a life of fulfillment, putting himself on the path to freedom and happiness. He shares his story to help those living in an unfulfilled life to get on the path and begin forever-ending journey to fulfillment by shutting off the noise of society. He desires that people look to internally and turn to their own chaos into calm, and pain into power. Mario, thank you so much for joining me today.
My absolute pleasure. Very happy to be here.
And I'm like, we met, so just the audience, this is how I roll. We just connected, I don't know, maybe a week or two ago. And I will tell you in this conversation, guys, first of all, I'm Jersey born. I know y'all can't hear it. And that's my other, y'all Southern drawl, because I'm not even close to from the South. And obviously Mario, like the moment he opened his mouth, I was like, all right, he's North Jersey, he's from that New York City, he's got that vibe about him. And I'll tell you, like, boom, I felt it. Ba-bam, I'm going to use it. I used it before.
There you go. Ba-bam.
I felt your energy and your presence. You just have this outstanding energy around you. So thank you so much for joining me.
And I appreciate that. If only you had record on when we introduce ourselves to each other, we would have had an episode wrapped up already.
Well, we get to do it all over again.
There you go. Exactly.
We have something new in this
conversation. Universe works in mysterious ways.
That's right. So jumping right in, Mario, like, I don't even know where you want to begin, but like, you were in a 5-year rabbit hole. Let's start there. Let's start in the dark place, because that's always a great place to start. First of all, I guess, what triggered that, or what started that 5-year dark hole, and how the heck did you pull yourself out of that? Because that's not a short period of time.
Yeah, it was crazy. And so I started my career on Wall Street in 1989. And by the time 2004 to 2010 were my peak years. Mm-hmm. Like all the hours I put in, all the work I put in, I finally had those 6 great years on Wall Street. And in 2011, we started seeing automation and technology start to interrupt our business. And what I loved about my business was I was able to be very entrepreneurial. Every day was different. And we could be creative, imaginative. I mean, we just came up with such amazing ideas to help bring more value to our institutional clients. And then one day, automation came along and we were no longer relevant. I mean, not relevant at all. And this did take away my passion. I was very passionate about what I did. I wasn't passionate about the corporate world. I didn't realize it until this happened. But I was very passionate about what I did and what I offered to my clients. And you know, it's a service business. So being creative and coming up with ideas is what's most important. That all disappeared. And with that, my identity disappeared. And I had to lock this inside of me. You know, having a wife, 3 daughters, and coming home every day, I did not want to bring that home with me. So I suffered in silence. And it was literally eating me from the inside out. It was deteriorating my brain, my health, my body. And I was scraping and clawing. I could not find a way out of this. And one day, it was a normal day. I was going through my normal routine. I woke up at 4:15 in the morning, had a cup of coffee in my hand, and I'll never forget sitting on the couch in my living room before I was getting ready to start the day and head into the city. And I was praying to God, and I just said, God, when did I become a victim? And when I referred to myself as a victim, that was a trigger. And immediately I popped up. Like I was like, whoa, I am not a victim. I would never consider myself, all of a sudden I'm considering myself a victim. And I went for a walk and I'm talking to myself out loud. And I'm having this internal conversation with myself and I'm talking from my gut and being brutally honest with myself. And I started getting rid of everything I no longer wanted in my life at that point. And I realized that when I was removing the toxicities, you know, blaming the corporate world, blaming technology, blaming other people, blaming the government. I was blaming everybody except for Mario. And it was at that point that I finally took responsibility for my own life. And that's when I was finally to climb out of that rabbit hole, accept what was going on, but more importantly, embrace what was going on so that I could put myself back on a path to freedom and happiness. And that's how this all came about.
Yeah. I want to start with why did you choose to not share with your family what you were going through, like this internal struggle that you were going through?
Because society programs you not to do it. Society programs you as a man not to ask for help. Society programs as you a man that if you are suffering, you fight through it on your own, even if you don't have the answers.
Stoic nature.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're so programmed and manipulated. You know, people are not living their life. People are not living at all. What they're doing is they're living the life that society has dictated to them, that their teachers, their parents, politicians, you name it. That's the life they're living. They are not living their life. I was not living my life. And now, and I don't, look, I'm a lot older than most people, but I can tell you this, at least I know I'm starting to live now. And as this movement grows and as I put more people on that path of freedom and happiness, that means I've left a legacy and I will die without regret. And that is my goal, not to have any regrets in life.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not the journey that we all wish that we have, right? So, you know, although my journey is vastly different than yours, there are some keynotes that are very, very similar. I spent a decade in organ and tissue donation. So I worked in this industry that we were dealing in death, literally, right? You were talking with families just as they lost a loved one and having that very delicate conversation around donation, right? And what, when you're having those conversations, what starts to kind of unfold is the family members and the loved ones talk about how wonderful this individual was and how giving this person was and all, you know, all those attributes. So that's the actual conversation. The other part of that conversation is, oh my gosh, I need to start living my life today. Yeah. Because mom, dad just passed and they didn't live into their dreams. They didn't do the things that they said they wanted to do. They left this life, they left this world with things still unchecked in their boxes. The boxes were still unchecked. And even though those were not the heavier part of the conversation, those pieces kind of came through. And so I spent 10 years in that space. And I will tell you, it wasn't until I was out of that industry that like it clicked for me, because I was hearing it. And those were little moments in my life of saying, okay, like live into it, do it. But living and doing it, living into it and doing it is very different than saying it is very different than doing it.
Absolutely. And what I recommend to people is, you know, go to a hospice center where people will never walk out of there again. And there are people of all ages in there. They don't have to be old. And you ask them one question. If you could have your health back and walk out this door, what would you do differently? And it's all the same answers. I wish I could have taken more risks. I wish I could have taken more chances. I wish I would have started my business. I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have lived my life and not just existed. So these people are all dying with regrets.
Yeah.
And well, operative
words here. I wish.
Yeah.
I wish versus I am.
Exactly. And it's horrible. And all I want is for people to hear my story so that I can change, they can rewrite their story. I don't want anybody dying with regrets. I want everybody to know, whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, go out there and do what you're passionate about. Live your life. Don't just exist. There's too many people walking around out there as a shell. They're alive, but they're not living. And that's a damn shame. And it's something, it's the thing I'm most passionate about is getting people on that path.
Why is that so important for you?
It's important for me because I think this world is so divided. And if I set my goal high enough where I know a world is so divided because people, look, the world is divided. Why? Not because of what they believe, but what they're told to believe. Mm-hmm. You grow up in a conservative family, you have conservative views. You grow up in a liberal family, you have liberal views. You're told to become a doctor, you become a doctor. You're told to become a lawyer, you become a lawyer. Like, there's so much division that what I want to do is, I want this movement is to create, is to put as many people on that path so that they're going to turn around and elevate others. Mm-hmm. And by creating that movement, we could start moving the needle and we could take a divided world and we could start to create a really united world. And, you know, to me, anything is possible. And, you know, I always love to call, you know, people call me crazy, but I love to quote Walt Disney. You know, he said it best. You know, it's the crazy ones who truly believe they can change the world that actually do.
They do.
And you have to be crazy. You can't be normal. You cannot be normal. What's normal is destructive, mm-hmm. and it's destroying people from the inside out. And that's why people continuously live these unfulfilled lives. We've got to change their mindset. And I feel it's my duty to do so.
I want to go back to toxicity for a moment, because toxicity, I think, is a really potent word. I know for myself, when I began my journey, now mine iterated out of leaving a marriage and empowering myself for the first time, because when I did that, there was a series of things. Like, we had moved across country, so I'd walked away from my career to make this move, because this is a choice that we made to be in this new space, because this is the type of life we want to live, right? We're moving towards that needle. I had walked away from my career. I walked away from a marriage, and the only thing that I still identified myself as was a mother. That was it, right? So I had defined myself, much like you, defined myself by what I did, that I was a career woman and that I was a wife and I was a mother. And two of those titles were gone. And I was like, oh my gosh, now who am I? Because who am I was what I did, but I wasn't doing those things anymore. And what I started to do was detoxify everything.
And you labeled that as a title.
I did.
Think about that.
I did. I didn't internalize it. It was external to me. And I started to, you know, I changed my eating habits. I released a lot of people from my world. When I was going in the early days of this, I wasn't really reaching out. I had like three people that I really shared what was going on with me very deeply. I was cocooning because I was very, very intentional about the messaging that I was going to be allowed around me. I was detoxifying and healing. And when I started to go through that process and started to really embrace my vulnerability and start sharing, right, publicly, at some point I transitioned and started sharing very publicly what I was going through, but not having one-on-one conversations with people, I was just sort of putting it, blasting into the world via Facebook, people coming out of nowhere, like watching my story change, and all of a sudden I'm the Phoenix, and I'm like, whoa, that wasn't the intent. My intent was to just elevate myself, right, and bring that up. So, and you know, but I made a very intentional decision, like very early on. It's like, I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to be watching TV. I'm not going to ignore these things that were actually happening. I'm actually going to lean into this piece and really take ownership. I'm not a victim. I'm only a victim because I said I was a victim.
Absolutely. You know? And it's contagious. I mean, you know, people, you know, you were vulnerable enough to share your story, and then people see it. And then by default, by elevating yourself, you're elevating others. And mm-hmm. that is the whole message. The whole point is, how many of us are brave enough to share their story? Like, motivation, dumb word. Dumb word. It's stupid. We're all born with motivation. Yeah. It's how do we inspire people to act on their motivation?
Yes.
You know, it's courage. It takes courage to be the type of person who is willing to share their pain with the world and how they overcame it and how they've embraced the pain to continue on their journey. Those are the ones that have the power to elevate others. And if you listen to some of the stories, the best speeches, the best talks at colleges, it's not about, I was the great, I was a, It's about how they went through the struggle, how many times they failed, how many times they hit a roadblock or an obstacle, but they kept fighting through it because their passion was so powerful. Nothing was going to stop them from achieving their dream. And they knew that the only way they could fail was by not doing it.
But yeah, and I want to take that a step further, because I really do believe too, along with that, is loving yourself, right? It's believing that you believe in yourself, you love yourself, you step into that power, you stop giving your power away to other people. Like for you, your power was given away when this outside existence, like for your business, for instance, it tanked because of external forces.
Correct.
It wasn't yours. That wasn't yours. That was external to you. And that's tailspins you into this dark hole that you held on to.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't say that you held on to it, because I'm sure you didn't intend to hold on to it. It was your time to figure things out.
Yeah, it was a long 5 years of healing, but it becomes to the point where you have to recognize whether or not you truly want. You know, you could talk to people as much as you want. You know, I hear some of these people, you know, out there talking and giving advice, and it just blows my mind, because I'll sometimes have a conversation with someone and they're giving this advice and we're sitting in a group and I'll say, well, did you experience that? And they're like, no. I'm like, how are you giving me advice on that? I lost a brother 2 months before I turned 16. I lost my father 12 years later. I've been through a lot of stages with panic disorders and anxiety. Sharing my story is a testament of what it is to just stop in your tracks and change your life at any given moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, put myself on an airplane, a one-way ticket to a whole new city, and to go and start a new life and start networking. And the craziest thing is when I got down here, you know, a month later, the coronavirus hit. So did that stop me? No, but it's not just the external forces. And what I found for me was, and then when I started coaching, it's people's habits, people's routines. They blame, if they're obese, they blame it on the world. If everything is blame, blame, blame. And I did it. I'm not criticizing these people.
Right. Oh, no, I've done it.
I did it. All I'm saying is you don't have to do it. Take responsibility for yourself. And if you truly do not want to live a fulfilled life, and stay where you are. Mm-hmm. No one's going to force you out of it. But yeah. I just don't understand why somebody would not want to live that spectacular life.
You want to shake them, right? Yes. Sometimes I want to shake people.
I wish someone shook me.
Well, and
I shook myself.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I had some shakeable moments throughout my life. I think it ultimately was me, because I'm so darn, I'm an Aries and I'm very stubborn, and I know that I will own it. Interestingly enough, right before we got on this call, I was on another in another conversation, and we were talking about pain. I'll just take a side note here and come back to it. What I had forgotten was an experience that I had in my early 20s. I was working in Manhattan at a company that I wasn't necessarily a fan of the role itself. The company, great company, did some good stuff. The role that I was in, I had three people that I reported to, and then I would step in and run it, and do the admin for the director of the department when the admin was on week lunch or on vacation. So basically I had like these four jobs and this one department that just wasn't aligning with me. I didn't understand it at the time. All I understood is I had these four jobs and I had a massive back pain. And what I was told, and I didn't go to the doctor because I was 20 something and I was stubborn. And I was told that, oh, I just have to work on my core. My core was like the front of my body was stronger than my back of the body. Okay, so physically, yes, I agree with that process. What was also happening around me is that there was another department in that company that ran meetings. They had event planners in the company. And I had really had interest in it. And I had wanted to get some exposure to it. Like I knew that there was some passion, something driving me to do it, but I wouldn't take that step. I wouldn't take that step to do whatever it was. I will tell you, I think I had four angels around me because I had four coworkers that pushed me every day for weeks. Go talk to them. Go find a way to make it happen. Just find a way. And I finally figured it out. And I asked my four managers, because I had four managers, it was insane. I was like, I want to go volunteer with this team. And I think I already talked to the team management at that point. And I was like, I want to volunteer with them because I want to learn, right? And they need the help. So let me learn. And I was like, I'll volunteer. I'm not looking for payment. And what happened was all of my managers came into agreement with it. They said, yes, you have to do it Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Fine. We will pay you to do that other stuff in the after hours. And the actual event that we were planning was our national, like our annual fundraiser, got to be in a private conference with the Prime Minister of Israel. That was like 100 people. And I got to be in that room. And I was rubbing shoulders with Bob and Myra Kraft because they were our primary funders of that event. And they, for those of you who don't know, they are the owners, well, Myra's since deceased, but the owners of the Patriots. I'm rubbing elbows with this like multi, you know, billionaire, right? Because, oh, my back pain disappeared. Because I followed my heart. And then everything started to explode. And then I left that company shortly after and pursued that part of my life. The example that I want to say there is that even though I wasn't listening, things were telling me. They were literally shoving me in the direction that I needed to be in. And the moment that I started to live into that, that's when the joy came. That's where the excitement came. That's where the passion came. Like, I was excited to go to work every day. I loved what I was doing. My life shifted.
Exactly.
Gosh, like, why? Why we, like, when I say talk about shaping people, like, why do we limit ourselves? Why do you think you do? Why do you think you have?
I know why people limit themselves. Fear. Fear strangles people. Fear, it's fear is an illusion. I was very fearful, you know, my whole life, you know, especially after I lost my brother, who was I gonna lose next? Fear has a way of controlling you. But once I started doing things outside of my comfort zone, things I never thought I would do.
Can you get an example of that?
The best way of overcoming fear is to do something that scares the hell out of you, but you do it anyway. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what it is. It makes no difference. People, if you're unable to embrace fear, you're going to be stuck and you're never, ever going to be able to move forward. Mm-hmm. You'll feel like you're moving forward, but you're only moving forward for others. You're not moving forward for yourself. You're actually moving backward for yourself. Mm-hmm. That to me is paralyzing. And it was paralyzing for a long time. I mean, the amount of fear I was in those 5 years I was in the rabbit hole. I mean, it literally puts you in quicksand. But fear is a liar.
Thank you. It is a liar.
When we're born, we are, think about, I want you to really think about this right now. I hope the listeners really think about this. When you're born to fear one thing, noise. Everything else you were taught to fear, you were taught from external circumstances, from society, from the government, from TV, from commercials, from advertisers, from your parents. Like, don't go in that pool. Don't jump in the deep end. You'll drown. Like, who says that? I threw my kids into the deep end because I didn't want them to have fear, even though, you know, my mother-in-law almost killed me. But like, I had to do the exact opposite of what I was taught for my children to grow up without fear. And we're told, don't ride your bike across the street because you get hit by a car, you're going to die. Like, that's how society delivers things to us.
Yes.
And you see all this crap on TV, the exposure our kids have. Even the cartoons. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but we have no idea how we were manipulated by even watching cartoons. Like, you Google it today, the most manipulative, brainwashing cartoons, it's actually disgusting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
I didn't know the shape of this guy's head back in, you know, the 70s on cartoons actually was something that, you know, a child should not have been paying attention to. But fear has been instilled in us. Mm-hmm. We've been taught to fear. it's our responsibility, if we want to live a filled life, to unteach everything that we were taught. And the brain can do that. The brain can get rid of
I'm going to take that. I agree with you, and I'm going to take that one step further, because there are three different centers of where our decision processing, your processing centers are in our bodies, your head. So, like for myself, I'm an NLP practitioner, right? Yes. So for me, it is cognitive. I do personally experiment with the heart, right? And the heart and the gut are the other two locations. It's your brain, your heart, and your gut. And those, you know, the gut is controlled by nutrition, by the food that you intake, and your heart is on the energetic, you shift gears to the energetic side, and your energy body is within your body and the energy centers around you. Those are the three factors that are just making decisions in your world. Yeah. So that piece about detoxifying is, you know, when you detoxify, you can detoxify all three. That's when you get to live in this most clarity. Fear oftentimes will start here. It's always up here. It's always in your head. And then if you continue to not listen to what all three decision centers are saying to you, that's when you see that physical pain come through. Like, pain is actually a trigger. It's actually not meant to hurt you. It's actually meant to wake up and start listening.
And that's what people don't realize, is that the heart, the mind, and the soul are correlated. Mm-hmm. They are deeply correlated. And that's why when you get a thought in your mind and you blow it up into this big thing that it's not, then your heart starts beating faster. And as your heart starts beating faster, then you start to get this pain in your stomach. Yeah. And that is how the mind can destroy the body. Yep. Sometimes I ask myself, how am I still physically the way I am today, considering all the pain and the stress and the stories I told myself and all the made up stories I told myself that I allowed to grow from this little tiny molecule into this giant consuming monster that took over my heart, my mind, and my soul. Man. Exactly.
So curious, I'd like for you to take a moment. What is a fear story that you told yourself for many years that you've since broken through?
Oh boy. Well, one of them was, I was actually convinced that I was going to die by the time I did this, like, especially after my father died. He died 12 years after my brother. And so then I added on 12 years, and I thought, you know, I was going to die at that age. I really did. Like, I was prepared for it. I was prepared for it. Like, talk about putting fear in your head. Like, yeah. There, you know, there are a lot of people who, or the fear of losing the respect of my children or them being proud of me. And I actually had a conversation with them when I was going to pursue my dream. And I said, I just want you guys to always be very proud of your father. I would never want to lose that. And, you know, here they are. They turn around and they say to me, you already have that. What you did for us up until today, you've already won that. You know, you'll always be, you know, and it goes back to what I offered. I didn't realize the good that I offered. I only, because of the fear, I only recognized the bad I offered the world. And that's horrible. But I was always a great father till this day. I could think back to all the things that I did with my children. Fear just takes you out of, it's like an out-of-body experience, but it's happening inside of you.
It takes you off the ball field.
Absolutely. And it puts you on the sidelines. And I was holding pom-poms for many years. And it took me a very, I took the leap. You know, to get back into the game. And I'm back in the game, and I'm here to stay, and I won't be on the sidelines ever again. No way.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just it, right? I will say that even for myself, when I started my own journey, and I continued to choose me and choose me and choose me, and every time I did, that's when excellent opportunities showed up for me, possibilities that I never saw coming. Never would have even dreamed of. Were all of a sudden in my world, and I was like, wow. And then, and so this is for me, this is my biggest trigger, and this is why I coach around it, because it's the thing that I have most to learn around, is being back in a relationship. So I was in a relationship most of last year. And in the beginning, I really stayed very true to myself. And I kept saying, okay, I've learned, I've done so much work on myself. I cocooned, I healed, I began loving, you know, really loving myself and doing everything on my terms. And slowly those barriers started to come down, and slowly I started falling myself back into some of those patterns that I had seen. And I remember even, like, you know, we were together for about a year, and about halfway through, I had had one afternoon, talk about like not listening to my own intuition. Now, mind you, there had already been other signs, but really listening to my intuition. I was sitting in my room one late afternoon, and I just had this moment, this thought that came through my head. It was like, what am I doing? What am I doing with this person? And there's not a knock on this person, because he's a wonderful person, he's a wonderful human being. And I can say that with confidence, and I can say that with a smile on my face. What am I doing? Because I am not receiving what I need. I'm not breathing, right? I'm already starting to see this, and I stayed. So I want to really share that and really put that out there. Like, this is an ongoing journey. Don't get to a destination and be like, I've got it all, I know everything. No, fuck that. It doesn't exist.
It doesn't end. And that's why I say on the path to freedom and happiness, because you can't deviate from it. And you know, what you're saying is pretty powerful, because people don't understand something. It, you know, people say, oh, you love yourself. Yeah, well, I hope you do. Because if you don't love yourself, you can't love others. If you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of other people. If you don't believe in you, how are you going to believe in other people? Like,
if you don't believe in you, how can anyone believe in you? How are you going to let anyone else believe in you?
Well, I remember it was only a couple months ago. And, you know, when I came down here to really pursue this and really take this to the next level, this person said to me, I absolutely believe you could do it. I believe in you. And I said, but you don't believe in yourself. How would you believe in me? What makes you believe in me? And then all of a sudden, they couldn't answer the question. So they were just saying something that was taught to them to say when someone tells you to go on to, I believe in you. But not everyone is going to believe in you. Not everybody. And that includes family. Look, here's the thing. Blood makes you a relative.
Yep, that's about it.
Loyalty makes you family. Belief makes you family. Support makes you family. That's the truth. Yeah. And there are even family members who will see you going on a journey and chasing your passion and saying, what are you, crazy? What are you, out of your mind? You're going to ruin your life. Or you're going to have friends say, oh, is that what you're going to do with your time? Because they don't have what it takes to do it. So there's both sides of the coin. Mm-hmm. Those who believe in you and those who don't want you to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Those are the ones who drag you down. And that's where the real toxicity comes in, because you've really got to surround yourself with the right people. Because if you don't, you're in for a hell of a ride. I didn't have the right people around me for a long time. And then I started.
I want you to be gentle with yourself on that, because it's that you had the people around you that were supporting where you were in your life at that time.
No, not true.
They weren't. Okay.
No. Well, see, they were supporting themselves in where I was at that time.
Okay.
Because where I was and what I was offering them was their benefit.
Okay.
It wasn't for my benefit.
Okay.
So I have to flip the script on you on that one, because they were there for their own reasons. They weren't there because they truly supported me for who I was. And I found that out the hard way. I truly did. I found that out the hard way.
And where are these people now? Are they still around?
Well, no. Not people I'm actively engaging with at all. If I run into them, I run into them. Look, I love everybody. Just because someone doesn't support me doesn't mean I'm going to stop loving them, whether they're a family member or a friend.
They don't have to sit at your table. That's all.
Exactly. That's all. They don't have to sit at my table. And, you know, we don't have to break bread together. But it's the people who truly support what I'm doing. If I'm going to support someone, I'm not going to support everybody, because some people may have a cause that I don't believe in. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing something for the sake of humanity and the well-being of individuals and to give back to the world in a very positive and influential way, I'm going to support anybody who has that desire and that dream. Those are the people that I want to be around. Those are the people who I want to be on this journey with, because not only are they going to help me become a better person, we're going to grow together.
Yeah.
And that's why I use the word movement. It's a movement because, look, I can go very fast by myself.
Yes.
But I can go a hell of a lot farther with a movement, with people around me.
And that's how we were intended to be. And that's where I found like this piece of like for our very present state of mind of where we are with Corona and being asked to be home and asked to be, even though I don't know for you where you guys are in the state of affairs. I know here in Colorado things that have been lifting quite dramatically and we have the ability to start to reconnect. But during this piece of like being asked to disconnect, right, and to wear a mask and not be able to see or feel or hug or whatever.
I think it's the greatest thing that ever happened.
It is and it is. I agree with you because it's
greatest thing that ever happened. This is the greatest thing that ever happened.
Mark, you tell me why, and then I'm only sure of my why. Why?
I'll tell you why, because this is a wake-up call. This is a global reset. Now, you think about all the people who always wanted to stay home and not go out and be adventurous and not do things. Well, guess what? Maybe these people will appreciate nature more. Maybe they'll notice the sun hitting them on the face. Maybe they'll smell fresh cut grass. Maybe they'll help someone walk across the street who can't do it on their own. Maybe they'll pursue their passion because they understand it. This is leveling the playing field. This is leveling the playing field. So for all those people who believe that they can't make it in this world, or they're not special enough, or other people have it above them, there's no more excuses now. Mm-hmm. It's a level playing field. Everybody is suffering. It's those who embrace it and accept it and adapt to the new world. Those are the ones who are going to come out on top and be able to elevate other people. Those who don't, they never wanted to come out of that shell. They never did. So as far as I'm concerned, something great should come out of this for everyone who survives it. Fantastic.
I'm not going to say will. I'm going to say is. It's already happening. It is already.
Well, look, to the people who are still, who have turned their fear into anger and are complaining every day,
they're going to continue doing that. We're going to have that division. I agree. I don't disagree with you. I will say, let me edit that and clarify around that. Those of us, and I think we're included in this group that have elevated, we are already doing that. We are already understanding how we ourselves as individuals are pivoting and how we're going to thrive.
Exactly.
In this situation, exactly. Because we see the opportunities, we've chosen to see the possibilities, we've chosen to spend more time inside and then sharing that vision with others, elevating the other people behind us.
Like what have people been doing with the 8 weeks they were in? Like, I asked people, are you reading books? Are you listening to podcasts? Are you thinking about a side hustle? Are you exercising every day? Have you shut off the TV? Have you stopped eating all that crap that's, you know, making, we have 78% obesity. Like, have you been making these changes? You say you need time. How have you been using this time? Have you been using this time to become the best version of yourself? Have you been using this time to get your mind right so that your adaptation response is on? So when we enter this new world and you're no longer sitting next to people in a restaurant, or you're social distancing wherever you are, and you're not hugging and people aren't shaking your hand, and all of these things that are never going to be normal again. And I'm so tired of people saying to me, Mario, when are things going back to normal?
They're not.
It's the wrong question. Well, it's the wrong question.
I'm gonna ask that.
And not only that, normal was broken. Normal was broken. Why would you want to go back to normal? It blows my mind.
Well, it's fear, but it's a fear thing. That's another fear thing.
But what I'm trying to say is the people who are not, look, Malcolm X said the greatest thing ever to me. And to me, it's one of my favorite quotes. The future belongs to those who prepare for it today. People had 8 weeks. They knew they had 8 weeks. Could have been longer, could have been 12 weeks to prepare for the new world.
Yep.
And it is a new world. It's a cleaner world, cleaner air, cleaner water, cleaner everything. We have animals. We have animals that you'd never see walking in streets of suburbs and cities out because there were no people out. Yeah. The world is going to become more beautiful, and we can make it more beautiful, and we can make others more beautiful. But what have people been doing?
Yeah.
Is it just the same as it was before? And they think the world is going to be just the same, and they're going to go back to the shitty job. They're going to stay in the shitty relationships. They're going to say they're just going to keep that toxicity in their life because they didn't take the time to really identify who they are and what they want. Mm-hmm. That is where my heart breaks for people, because I spent my time during this pandemic working on me.
Yep.
So I could spend my time giving back to others.
Yep.
And I can only do that by becoming a better version of myself. And by having that time alone with myself and those conversations and reading as many books as I did and listening to as many podcasts as I did and to journaling every day and waking up and exercising at the same time every day and eating healthier and just preparing myself.
Yeah.
Preparation. It's like when something becomes repetitious, that's when you're putting yourself on a path. That's when you know you're doing things that are just getting you to where you truly know you want to be. But why are people so unwilling to let go of those bad habits and those bad routines? Why?
Yeah. And so, I mean, I know fear is like that blanket answer, and I agree. I mean, that is, right? It's because, you know, they don't.
Comfort and fear are aligned.
They are. And it's easy to stay small. It is easy to stay in a space that you know. It does require you believing you to step in and really like stay in that fear, because that fear piece can be dark. And I've had many of those dark times where like, I don't want to feel like crap every day. I don't want to wake up and cry, because there were months of that. I mean, truly,
oh, yeah.
I just went through this period from like December through March. Like I was I know that's not the person that is appearing and showing up in this conversation right now, but that was the woman that I was for 4 months of healing, because I was healing from a broken heart. And it was dark and it was sad and it was lonely.
But you allowed yourself to heal. People won't allow themselves to heal.
Again, I made very intentional decisions. I chose not to drink. I chose to get back to my exercise routines. I chose not to spend time with a lot of people. I chose to stay home by myself. I chose not to turn on the TV. I chose to sit with the darkness and yeah. start to piece together what had happened in the last several months that brought me to this place. Why did I repeat these patterns? What are my lessons to learn in that? And because what that does is it allows me to love on me even more. And then I get to elevate and produce and be out. Because like the moment the COVID happened, and I've been saying for months, I'm bringing the show back. The moment COVID happened, I was like, all right, it's today. It's not tomorrow. It wasn't 3 months ago. I wasn't ready 3 months ago. It's today.
And it wasn't just words. It was action. You know, people speak a big game. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, there's never been a better time for anybody. And I've researched, you know, from the Spanish flu and everything else. I know it went on with the second wave and all that, but people flourished and they became such great versions of themselves. Right now, being able to take advantage of that and having the right mindset and shifting your mindset and feeding yourself the proper thoughts, writing a new story is something special. Just make sure you're holding your pen in your hand, not someone else's externally. My story was not written by me for the first how many years of my life. It was not written by me. I am now writing my story.
Yeah.
Me. I'm holding the pen in my hand. It belongs to me.
Yeah.
So I will take myself on this journey, and I will bring as many people on who want to be a part of that journey as possible. And that's where the decision, making that decision is the first step. That's what gets you to the starting line. Then you got to start moving. Then you have to cross it and take that leap and put yourself on that path.
Yeah. Mario, as we wrap up this conversation, and thank you so much for this, because knew this was going to be blowing up because, you know, the energy that you and I share, just, you know, that new, the New York Jersey thing, I think it's actually just how we choose to live in our lives, how we've chosen to show up for ourselves.
Absolutely.
The final thoughts that I'd love for you to share with anyone listening, what's coming through for you to be the final thing, and then also how can people find you, and which also will be included in the show notes.
What was the first question? I'm sorry.
Final thoughts. What are you compelled to share as a final?
We're entering a very exciting era, and people should get on board, especially if you have not been on board. If you feel, just be honest with yourself and look in the mirror and ask yourself if you're happy, if you're fulfilled. If the answer is no, I think Steve Jobs said it best. He said every morning he would wake up and he would look in the mirror and he would ask himself if what he was going to do today was going to make him happy. And if the answer was no, it was time to make a change. That would be my final thought. And if people ask themselves that question and the answer is no, make a change and improve your life. But to reach me, MarioRace.com. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Mario Race Official. I also have a new YouTube channel, lots of videos up there. I have my book, Elevate Others. My book, Elevate Others, the Movement, will be out a few months after I launch my podcast, Elevate Others, the Movement. And just reach out to me on email, Messenger, go to my website, send an email. And hopefully people will buy the book as well, because I know it's helped a lot of people. It's very vulnerable. A lot of the pages in the book, or a lot of the chapters, I should say, they're not long. It's what I wanted. Some are one page. The editors wanted to add to it. I said, no, that's exactly what I wanted to say in that chapter. That's all I had to say. So it's more of a manual than a book. You're not going to sit there and read it forever. But I was very, very raw with it, and I talked into a transcribing app. So I paced back and forth for 5 days, putting this book together. So you could feel the energy, you could feel the passion, and I think a lot of people have a great takeaway with it.
Mario, thank you so much for this sharing this time with me, and you're sharing your message. And sharing your gift. Sharing your story and sharing your gifts.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I hope everyone out there who's listening on your podcast, I hope they do take that leap, and I hope they do make the change. It'll be the best decision they ever made.
Agreed. Agreed. Thank you.
My pleasure. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thank you.